interested this morning in trying to explain the importance of knowing that God always works with man in relationship to the situation. There are people who say, well, God's laws are immutable and the customs of man and the way man is doing and so forth, nothing to do with it. God's got his laws. He just moves point blanket with all generations and everybody the same according to his immutable laws. But that is not the soul. It's not the case at all. The scriptures will clearly indicate that this is not true. Now, it's true that God has immutable laws. It's true that God is above men and all things must be done according to the word of God. And it's true that you can't just take the word of God and say, well, we have to make it wealthy for the day and switch it and change it to whatever man is doing. It's true that modernists, skeptics are always trying to change the gospel to agree with the new age, and whatever man seems to be doing, we're supposed to change the gospel to agree with that. And that's not true, and that isn't what I mean. That's a myth. That's contrary to God's law. But God is not unmindful of man. He deals with man like man is. We went and looked at a number of cases and situations here. I've been very impressed and somewhat amazed as I have days gone by, as I have looked down through church history and seen how God has dealt with people. And, for example, you'll see John Huss, Martin Luther, and others, when they and Savonarola, especially Huss and Savonarola, men like this who are in the Catholic faith, and God gave them light and brought them out of it doctrinally, and yet there were any other churches to go to, and they continued preaching in the Catholic churches, many of them. They had long black robes on and all of this. It seems strange for us to think of perhaps an event, especially 20 years ago, to a Pentecostal, or 30 years ago, to think of one who, some of them were filled with the Spirit, wonderful men of God, converted, and very evangelical, and very anti-popish, yet with long black clerical robes on, and doing and things and customs and manners like the Catholic Church. And you know, the Holy Spirit that did so much in the hearts of those men. And Luther came out so far from Catholicism. Yet God never said, Martin Luther, get off of that old robe. Get off of that black robe. Get it off of you. No, he never did. And the Holy Spirit never bothered him in the area at all. It was a very common vestment for those in the clergy. And I'm impressed at how God has worked with people. He has always worked in relationship to the customs of the day. There are those who, for example, I heard a UPC minister one time tell young people, if you girls wear lipstick, God will never fill you with the Holy Ghost. He may be partially right in that congregation. If some of those girls did wear lipstick, it might be more difficult for them to receive the Holy Spirit because it might, not because they wore lipstick, but because it might be an indication of their particular motives. But at the Episcopalian church, they never heard that sermon. They get filled with lipstick on right and left, no problem. And they have big jangling earrings, and they hear a message of salvation and the Holy Spirit, and they open their hearts to God, and God baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they can look, according to Mennonite, Quaker, and UPC standards, they can look extremely worldly. God can fill them with the Holy Spirit and have the glow of God on their face. The tears can run down and just make a big puddle of all the mascara and rouge and everything else and lipstick. And God filled them with the Holy Spirit. And God didn't come down and say, well, you're not dressing according to those standards and I don't like you all painted up and so forth. There's something in the heart that is hungering for God. Now, you go down to Africa and some places of Africa and it might seem strange. If you would go down there and visit a missionary and you move into a certain compound and here were some women with maybe great big nose rings and maybe some of great big platters in the lips and bare-breasted and so forth, and then they all open their ears to the gospel and receive Christ, you feel the Holy Spirit right there, and they may be speaking in other tongues, praising the Lord, and you look at them and say, my, these heathens? I mean, God would give a heathen like this the Holy Spirit? Sure, God loves heathens. He didn't make them clean up first and then save them. He saves you and then you clean up. And he says it's the Holy Spirit that helps you to clean up. I'm not trying to condone all the standards. God didn't want his people to stretch their lips out like this, and he didn't want them to do all these things. But they have done it, and that's where they are. And that's their situation. And God deals with them in their situation like they are. Now, the missionary may work on them, try to get them to change some of these heathen practices. Now, I'm sure that in God's mind, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference if you hang a ring here or if you hang it here. Just as far as where you hang a ring goes. But I don't think God is completely unmindful of where you hang that ring in the situation that exists. For example, if you're in a Mennonite church or in another Pentecostal church, for example, and if you're a lady and you have a lot of earrings or lipstick, something, you're out of place. You really are. You're out of place. And you get up and would sing a song in front of the congregation about how you love Jesus, and maybe you do. But it would be a stumbling block to the congregation. They would say, is it possible something wrong with that person? They must be backslidden or they're carnal or something wrong. And it would be hard for them to accept. And you would be out of place. Now, if you're an Episcopal church and a certain percentage of the congregation is filled with the Holy Spirit and others are not, and this is the way they're dressing and that person is that way, well, then they don't fit out of place. Everybody else is that way. Nobody's judging. There's no stumbling block at all. But now, if you come into Episcopalian church that way with a great big nose ring, you see, all of a sudden, there is a problem there. And if you want to get up and sing how much the Lord loves you, a great big nose plate, you know, a big bone through your nose or something, you're out of place. There's a problem in that assembly. And so it does make a difference. It does make a difference only because of the customers that are around you. God doesn't care about custom? Yes, God does care about custom. Very definitely God would care about custom. You would walk into a Mennonite church or a Pentecostal church in 1910 with a skirt at knee length, it would horrify the members, and you would be out of order. You would be disturbing people. You would be a stumbling block. And if you brought up in a certain age and with a certain dress, and that's the custom of the day, you think nothing about it, you can pray and receive the Holy Spirit and in your heart. I'm not saying that every dress of every age is all right. I'm just saying that God deals with the motives primarily. God has laws, and he has laws concerning a lot of things, and they're important. But God deals primarily and first with the heart, and he affects people where they are in the situation that they're in. That's why in this particular assembly, with our understanding and belief and so forth, I don't like to see people get up, boys with long, heavy hair, and testify how much they love Jesus. I don't doubt that they love Jesus. They get saved out on the street, Jesus at people meetings. I don't doubt they love Jesus. I don't doubt that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. I accept them as a brother in the Lord. I think that their standards are wrong, the same as some other people think other people's standards are wrong. And so it can become a stumbling block in this assembly, as far as I'm concerned. It bothers me. Wouldn't bother them if they go back to where they came from. It doesn't bother a soul. It doesn't bother a soul. But it does in some places. And we are people that cannot get away from the fact that we've got, our society has customs and things that we're used to. And God deals with you. And in the scriptures, you see he deals with people relating to the custom that they have. Let's take some examples now, for example. Let's look at Luke 7:45. And I want you to understand this, because I think that if a person does not understand that God does not deal with people according to where they are, the situation, the customs, he does not properly understand the Bible. I say no one understands the Bible until he understands that properly. It's an important and very important issue. It will completely confuse his theology if he doesn't understand how God works with man. Luke 7:45. Jesus said to the master of the house, when he came in, "Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet." Now, here we find out, in another place, the scripture says to greet one another with a holy kiss. He's talking about men kissing men. Now, there are people who, they find a point here, and a custom there, and some piece of history over here, and so all of a sudden, they make a doctrine out of history. And they're trying to get everybody else to do it. They're making they're waving the flag. But they conveniently, inconveniently, as the case may be, they forget some other passages that they're not following at all, that are more of a command, perhaps, than what they're following. We must make a difference between history and commandments, doctrines. If you can look in the Word of God because they did something, is no reason to copy it. Doesn't mean it was best. Doesn't mean it was right. Doesn't mean it's any better than what you've got right now. The early church started out without deacons. But when the situation arose, they appointed deacons. And the Holy Spirit had them appoint deacons. But they didn't appoint deacons the day of Pentecost. They appointed when the need arose. And it was a development. And there were changes made. Now, if I would come into this assembly with a long white robe to my feet, a lot of people would be in consternation. And there'd be a lot of doubting. And they would be doubting my motives. They'd be doubting, some of them would be doubting my doctrine, and some would be doubting my sanity. But they would be questioning, what's with him? What's happened to him? What's this new twist that he's in? What's happening? And they'd be bothered. And I might get up and say, well, brethren, I'm dressing more like Jesus Christ than you. I'm dressing more like Bible days. Aren't we a Bible church? I dress more like Paul than you do. So what are you judging me for? But I'd be wrong. And I'd be out of place. I'd be definite. There's no reason for me to dress that way. Something would be wrong with my understanding or motive if I dress that way. There's no reason to copy them and come in with sandals or long ropes because they wore long ropes. God never said, you wear long ropes, and this is going to be your doctrine and so forth. And yet there are people trying to copy history. You're not supposed to copy history. And if you were, then all the men better begin kissing all the other men. On the neck, where they kiss them, of course. But God has not called us as a doctrine to kiss, although he said, greet another with a holy kiss. Why did he say that? Because he wanted you to kiss everybody in the neck from now on? No. Because he wanted you to give them the customary, appropriate greeting that betrayed hospitality, love, and consideration. And since it was the normal way to love and consider and greet somebody, if you didn't, it showed that you were slighting them, or you didn't care for them, or you were neglecting them, or something. And so it did something. In that day, if a person was, he came in, and it wasn't a person coming in every single day, perhaps, but it was a person who came in, and they had the same faith, and you hadn't seen it for a long time, and they were an old bosom buddy, so to speak, and you didn't embrace and kiss them on the neck, it cuts his heart. He feels bad about it. Well, now the men don't feel bad here, but now the men don't kiss them. There's the same effect. And then the next verse, he said, my head thou with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. How come you didn't anoint my head? Well, I don't see the men here anointing one another's heads. Are we supposed to start anointing one another's heads? But some people are so confused because they don't understand why. They say, well, it doesn't make any difference why. We're just supposed to do it because God said so. No. How do we follow today that commandment, greeting of the holy kiss? We follow it by our custom. That does the same thing in the heart, because God's not interested in the external custom of the day. He doesn't care if you greet with a holy kiss, whether you rub noses, if you're in Eskimo land, or whether you shake hands. What he wants you to do is show that hospitality, however your group shows that hospitality. And so greet him with a handshake. And if a brother comes in, you don't give him a handshake, and you're right there face to face, and brother says, well, how come he cited me? I mean, how come? Why? Because he wants you to pump hands? What does that do? Only that it shows something from the heart. And so God's not trying to change your customs. He just wants you to show from the heart. Now, he doesn't want you to follow some ancient custom that will get opposite results. That doesn't do any good, to get opposite results. The only reason you're doing it is to get the same results, because it means something to your custom. If it would mean the opposite, there'd be no reason to do it. It would only turn people away or hurt them. Now, this leads us into another area that, in my judgment, is greatly misunderstood by lots of people. And this is my opinion, I feel pretty strong about it. You may feel the other way, but I want to give you this perspective so you can understand it. At least understand this area. In John chapter 13,